Let's pray some more. Lord Jesus, you are so sovereign. You are King, and you are Lord, and you are Creator. And there is nothing that escapes your notice. There is nothing that catches you by surprise. You are in everything. And I thank you for that word of exhortation from Becky, Father. Let us start right here, right now, saying that you are the one we will see. You are the one we will look at in every circumstance, in every moment. Turn our eyes to you. Capture our hearts. Capture our attention, Father. Because you are the focus of our lives. We call ourselves your children. Therefore, you are the focus and the source of everything that comes from us. All that is living and good comes from you. You are our source. Let us not look to ourselves. Let us not look to the right or to the left. But let us look to you this morning. Let us hear what God, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And let us capture that this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sorry, I've got a little throat thing going on, so I put a lozenge in my mouth, and there was paper attached to it still, so I'm like, if you see me picking my teeth. Anyway, this morning, I would like to talk about catch and release. So I borrowed Janice and Mark's fly fishing gear, because they love to go fly fishing. And, you know, the thing about fly fishing, what I've observed from movies and videos and the few unique people that love to stand in cold water while bugs fly around them, is that it is about the joy of the capture, almost more than the eating. Although the eating is a huge benefit, but it's the joy of capturing. And if you ever, you gotta go online and watch fly fishermen. It's kind of funny because you sit there and you watch them. They're going, watch, watch, watch. And you're like, what are you doing? Are you whipping the mosquitoes? What is going on? But what they're doing is they're attracting the fish with this lure like it's a bird. And they're casting out and pulling it back and casting it out. And they're kind of taunting the fish, going, come on, you see this bird? You want it, you want it, you want it. And then they throw. And then they stand there for hours until the fish actually does bite it. But then they bring it in. And it's not even so much, we've got the fish, we're going to keep the fish, but now it's, let's release the fish, because the joy is in the capture. Now, I'm sure you guys have a quota, right? You have a quota of fish that you can take home and eat, and you want the benefit of that, but there's something in the joy of capturing and then letting it go. I'm going to tell on one of my friends, because she didn't even like to touch the fish. She's like, woo, caught one. Here, take it off. Let it go. But the Lord, and I'm in this silly outfit because we're visual people, and I want you to lay hold of something here. The Lord's been talking to me about what heaven is releasing. What is the sound of heaven? We feel the Holy Spirit is bringing Jubilee into yet another transition. And he's been preparing us over these last 5 years, you know, 30 years, if we want to be honest, but these last 5 years to become a people who can receive what he wants to bring. So often when we pray, God, I want this, bring this, bring this. And God tarries out of his mercy. Because, see, the weight of God's glory is like if an elephant were to drop on my tiny fishing boat from 50 feet up. My fishing boat would split in half and sink under the weight of that which has been dropped in. God, in his love, wants to give. He wants to give more of himself. He wants to give increasingly more of himself, but his desire is that when he does, it doesn't destroy us. Because glory will destroy a vessel that has not been prepared to carry it. And if you've been around here for any length of time, what prepares a vessel for glory is the fellowship of suffering. Because it's in death that life comes. It's in the discovery of who God is and who he has to be for me. God has to be my all in all. And I will come and I will make those discoveries and I will come and I will see myself in that discovery as a child of God and all the riches of his kingdom that he's given me. And his desire is that I possess those riches, that I possess him, and that I walk in that fullness. But the only way I can lay hold of that possession is really to know that he must be my all in all. I'm going to take this hat off. Got my throat lozenges here in the bag. Make sure you don't feed them to the fish. Sam, would you pull up Romans 10, verse 17, please? I often talk about Jubilee as a place that people smell. Because there is, God has given us our faculties of sight and of hearing and of taste and of smell and of touch. It's how we perceive a thing. It's how we experience a thing. But you see, our eyes will lie to us. Because my eyes will tell me that which I see right here is reality. And as a believer, this is not my reality. It is a reality, but it's not my truth. The truth of God is superior to that which we experience in the natural realm. And actually, I believe that walking life on this planet is just love practice. The Father doesn't need us to save the world. He'd go like this, saved. He doesn't require anything, but he desires love and fellowship. So why this human experiment? Why are we here on the planet to get people saved when God can do this? It's love practice. God desired not robots. God did not desire have-tos. God desired messy. Because, I don't know, I've raised four children, and it's messy. It's messy having other human beings in your house that sometimes do what you want and sometimes do what they want, and it's not what you want. And God continues to love and pour out, and he chose this experiment for us to know him. Because his desire is that he wants us to receive love in the midst of this. And that's a challenge. And I'm coming back now to Jubilee. I talk about smelling it because, you know, when you're up here, it's funny to be up here because, you know, everybody's hopefully not watching you, but sometimes they do. But I get to watch all of you sometimes too. And it's so great to watch someone new walk in the building and go, you can tell they smell it. It's like, oh, Jesus is here. The anointing is here. And it's so exciting to watch when you capture that in worship. When you've touched him and you're like, ah, there it is. I've captured something. Yesterday, we had a worship retreat for our worship team, and we talked about what really is the job of a worship team, because I've got like 25 people, and they all like different flavors of music. They like, some like gospel, some like reggae, some like jazz, some like Bethel and contemporary Christian, some like Maranatha, and, you know, there's probably 8 to 50 different flavors of music preferences for you out there as well. So is our job as a worship team to come here and play the music you like? Is our job to come and play the music we like? No, our job is to capture what heaven is saying and allow it to have its work through these vessels. Because, you know, when my mama cooked, the food was really good. And you could duplicate her food, but how do you know the secret's in the pan, right? It's like, no, that's not mama's pan. And, you know, that was the fight. Who's going to get the rice pan? Who's going to get the bean pan? Because there's just something that over the years of that being cooked in that place, that pan carries a flavor that it releases into the food. We are the pots that God cooks in. And every single one of us has a flavor that we add to the sound of heaven. So the sound of heaven coming to our ears is going to be different. Coming to our eyes is going to be different. It must be perceived with the hearing of the heart. It says in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word there is rhema. It's not logos. It's rhema. Rhema means an outpouring. So it's when God pours something out and we put ourselves ready to catch it and we let it mix in us and have its work, then we're transformed. But that's not enough. You see, it's not enough that I come to church and touch God and have an incredible experience and go home and maybe have a quiet time and have an incredible experience. It's not enough. I've got to release it. Why am I here? I'm here to capture and release. To catch the sound of heaven, to catch the word of God, to catch the rhema in the moment so that my faith increases. So then I go and I pour it out and I begin to release those around me and I begin to pour that same sound. That sound is love. That sound is freedom. That sound is life. It's not for me to possess. And in fact, I cannot possess it solely. The only way, you know how the kingdom works, right? I want to be first, then you need to be last. I want to have it all, then you need to give it all away. The kingdom is backwards, because that's how God keeps baffling Satan, right? I'm going to save the world by letting you kill the Savior. Huh? Okay. I never would have come up with that plan. But God sees the end from the beginning. And so his heart is continually to capture our hearts and say, now go release what I've captured. Go out there, and you may be a fancy fly fisherman. You may have big, crazy hair, and you may be up here worshiping, or you may be the dancers, or you may be the flaggers, or you may be the intercessor no one knows. The pot that you're cooking the food of Jesus in is good because he made it. And the blood sanctifies it. Your job is to keep putting bait on that hook and sending it out. What are you saying, God? What are you saying? What are you saying to me right now, right here? Whoa, okay. Today you heard, get your eyes on me. Don't look at your circumstances. And that's a lot of what he was telling me about faith. Faith doesn't come by what we see. It comes by hearing. But in order to hear, you've got to keep throwing that fly up to God. What are you saying? What are you saying? I want to capture what you are saying. And then that's what we release. Because if I'm fishing down here, I'm going to catch what I see down here. And then I'm going to release doubt and fear and confusion self or nothing. So I've got, I've got to keep my eyes on him, and I keep my eyes on him by keeping my heart fixed on the Lord, so that my faith will come by hearing the rhema of God. Let's go, Sam, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. These are fun. They are meant to draw attention. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. God said that a couple times. And I want you to know that just because you're in church doesn't mean you're the only ones who hear. The Lord speaks to the whole planet. The word of God is being released over all of creation. And those with ears to hear may not yet know the Savior. And so it's really important that when you hear someone who's heard, but they don't have the Jesus filter, don't squash them. Give them a Jesus filter. Don't go, oh, they're taking the truth and they're doing this and this. No, no, share the truth. You've heard that? Do you know God is speaking that right now over the earth? Do you know what he's saying to you? Do you know what he's saying? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Verse 11. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries, darkness, secret of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not yet been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. An ear to hear is a heart that's positioned to know truth. When God speaks logos, we cannot interpret it without Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said, I have much to share with you, but you don't have the Holy Spirit yet. We need the Spirit to understand what the Father is saying through his Son, all three of them united. We need the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of God needs to be everything that I seek after in my life. The presence of God, present, not just around me, but in me. And when I am turning my inner eyes and my inner ears to heaven, then that sound, then suddenly my satellite is ready. I know a lot of us, sometimes we get in a position where we're like, God, I don't hear you. And it seems he's talking in mysteries and secrets. He says, but to you I've given the mysteries. It's like, well, okay. Then how can I receive this? By faith. Okay, how do we get faith? By hearing. How do we receive hearing? By the word. So if you're stuck, you may need to go back to a fishing hole where you captured him once and see what he's spoken over you and write that down. And hopefully you will have written it down and say, okay, Lord, here's what you have said to me. Open my ears to hear and my eyes to see what you're doing right now. What of these words? Because the words of God are without repentance. The gifts of God are without repentance. So what he's spoken into your life, he's not going to take away. It's still there. But sometimes we lose sight Sometimes we lose sight because we start fishing in ponds. And you know what? This usually happens when we've caught. We've caught something of the Lord, and we get so excited, and we're like, yes, and this is it, and I'm going to run with it. And he's like, okay, but I need you to release it back to me. And that's the secret of the kingdom. The secret of the kingdom is not that everything God gives me, I give here. The secret of the kingdom is that everything God gives me, I give here. God and out. I've got to give back. I've got to release what he's given me. I've got to, because only he has the power to hold my promises. Only he has the power to bring my promises to pass. So once I catch something, yes, this is a truth. This is rhema. This is life. This is God. I've now got to release it back to him. And Lord, I'm going to worship you over this, and I'm going to put it back in your hands, and I'm going to say, may it be according to your will. Yes. And then we go and we say, God is giving life. This is what I see. Now I'm going to release it here, and 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 I'm not going to keep it unto myself. I'm going to release it. But you know what? It's a lot safer, we think, to keep it. My fish, I caught it. I fought hard for this word. He gave me this word. I'm going to keep it. So I'm going to protect it by my flesh. And that's actually fear. How do you know? Fish, 6 hours later, stinky. In order to keep a word fresh, you have to release it back to the Lord and guard your heart. We guard our heart with all diligence, but the word we give back to him and say, okay, Father, you are the keeper of this word. I will be the steward. I am here. Whatever way you want to pour that out in me, I want to release it. I want to give it to you. I want to give it back. I want to see it come forth. But first, I'm going to release it back to you. I'm going to capture the word. I'm going to rejoice over it, and I'm going to worship you in it, and I'm going to give it back. I'm going to heave offering this baby back to heaven. Because there is where my word is safe, and there is where my word never fails. Because here, people are dying, and people are not following truth, and people are selfish, and people are people. We're going to be disappointed because people are people. People, you know, you hear all the years when you're in church, well, I was in that church, and they did this. I'm like, were there people there? Then yes, people are people. We're sheeple. We're kind of stubborn, kind of dim-witted. I think we know what we're doing. But the Father wants to capture our heart so he can release us into the freedom of the Son he loves. It's for freedom that we've been set free. It's for love's sake that God has put us here to capture love and to release it in so many different ways. There's so many different manifestations. My heart is to be captured by his heart. His heart is that I would be captured by his heart. Because once he's captured me, then he pours me out as an offering. And then people drink, and people eat, and things change here. And the eternal touches earth when we capture the love of God and we release it. And when we let love have its perfect work, you know, lately he's just been telling me, love means death. Love, you know, it says in Song of Songs, love is as strong as death. And that, for about a year, I was just chewing on that and chewing on that and chewing on that. You know what? Death is final on this plane. But love committed its greatest work in a final work of the death and resurrection of the Son. It's a final work. It's unconquerable. Satan will never be able to change that work. It was once and for all. And it was the greatest act of love. And when I let love have its work in me, then I'm going to die in a whole lot of places. And we don't like that word, but I'm starting to go, okay, I don't like pain. But when love is having its perfect work, things start falling off that need to fall off. Death to the things that were so critical happens, and life is given freedom. Life is given room. All right, I'm kind of on 15 pages right now. Sorry. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. When Jesus was with the disciples, fishermen, somehow he had captured them. He had captured their hearts. They smelled something on him. They're like, this is food I have to eat. And when it got hard and when it got crazy and he's like, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and everybody else went, okay, whack job, we are out. The disciples had already been captured and they said, where can we go? Right here is the rhema. Right here is the words of eternal life. I don't get it. I don't get what you're saying. I don't understand, but I cannot leave. Because here is life. Right here is the life that I need. Right here is the life I have found. So right before, so he died and he resurrected and he came back, and his final words to them were, go. I've captured you. I'm going to send you my spirit, and now I'm going to release you. You see, Jesus wasn't trying to start a group that stayed in a building and talked about him all the time. He had caught them, and now he said, go. I release you. Go and give. Give. Give what I have given you. Give it away. Release it. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You want more presence? You want more freedom? Give it away. Release. What can I release? I'm reminded of, no, I'm not going to go there. We'll stay on this channel. Okay. There have been times where my resources were quite limited. And I learned early on that if I want to increase my resources, I need to give my resources away. Because God deals with the law of displacement. In order to receive more, I need to make room. And so if you want to build a capacity for more of God, then you need to be willing to give all of him away. And not afraid that the more I give, well, then I'm going to be used up. And then I'm going to be used by God, and I'm going to be used by people, and I'm going to be trampled on, and I'm going to be used, and I'm not going to have anything. I need to keep something safe here for myself. But that fish is going to start stinking. It's got to be given away. It's got to be released. So if you're stuck right now, if there's a place where you're not seeing flow, then let's ask, okay, Lord, where is my pipe stuck? What am I holding on to? Let me start there. We always want to start Satan, 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 the enemy, the enemy, the enemy. I'm like, well, you already have him handled. So what am I not doing? What do I need to do to partner with heaven to open up the channels again? Where am I looking? Am I looking to something I shouldn't be looking to? Am I insisting that you answer me a certain way? And therefore you're tarrying because you're waiting for me to release what I'm holding you captive to, God. I need you to answer this way. So I've captured something that I'm not supposed to be holding on to, and I need to let that go. What? Where's the blockage in this pipe? And often he'll say, I need you to just let go of what you insist upon. I need you to let go of demanding I answer you this way. Because you know what? I am God. I can do it whatever way I want. But sometimes he'll withhold. Because we're putting a demand. And so he'll let us experience that. He'll let us experience the weight of what we're actually asking. He's like, really? Yes, I have to have this. And he's like, okay, I don't know that you can have that, actually. But I'm gonna let you wrestle with that and wrestle with that and wrestle with that until you're willing to release it. It's going to have its work in us, one way or another. God works everything together for good. All of it. He's going to use my idiocies and my stupidity and my brilliance. And when I think I'm amazing, and he's like, aren't you cute? That's great. That's not what I'm doing, but enjoy yourself, okay? But he's like, what must I have? What have I captured that I'm not releasing back? You see, it works both sides. If I capture a word of the Lord, I have to release that word, or that word's going to choke me. Because I'll put a time frame on it. And I'll demand, I'll suddenly get back in here, and I'll start seeing with my eyes and hearing with my natural ears and seeing the circumstances, and I will put a demand on that word based on the natural that has nothing to do with God. And the very thing that I want so much will begin to starve me. It will become the fish that stinketh. You gave me this word. Now I hate this word. This word is debt between you and me, God. He goes, well, you never released it. So it's a stinky dead fish in your hand. Can I have it? I'll take the dead fish. I'll resurrect the fish. Because I never lost it. The word is still true, but you've got to release. Pastor was talking about forgiveness last week, and if you get a chance to go back and hear last week, you know, we talk about forgiveness in the church so much that it grows dull in our hearing. I know, and I've forgiven everybody, and I've forgiven, you know, like in my family, we'd say, you know, los zapatos de Celia Cruz. You know, I've forgiven everything that I can think of. And yet there was something on the word that was rhema last week. And it opened up a new door, a new window, where God is inviting us to yet release again. We cannot possess the kingdom without releasing everything he's given us. Every word he's spoken over us, he must hold. We can steward it, but we cannot own it, or it will kill us. It will be the elephant on the rowboat. The weight of glory is far too great for this vessel. I can only possess it with him. So what is he saying to you, Jubilee? What is the sound right now? There are some key things he's saying. Forgive is a sound he's releasing in this moment. Forgive. For, go in front of something and release. You owe me. I'm going to go before and I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to wait for it to catch up to me. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to give it back. Forgive. I love to give away. I love to displace things to make room. If I need finances, I need to start writing checks. I need to ask God for a penny. Okay, I don't have a penny to give. Lord, I need a penny. George Mueller was like, thank you, God. I'm taking this as a word. You're going to build my orphanage. A penny. Don't capture a word, put a label on it, and say, well, it's got to be $1 million. God's like, I get you to $1 million with a penny. Let it go. Capture the word. Give it back. God, I need money. Okay. Then I need to be one through whom you can pour finances. Show me how to give. What do I have to give? I don't have a penny. Somebody needs shoes. What can I give? What can I give? How can I release life here? Lord, I'm feeling stuck, and all I can see are my circumstances. I need to give. I need to release. I need to release. What do I need to release? I've got nothing good to release right now because everything in me is mad. Everything in me is hurt. No. That's not true. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Okay, I'm going to stir up my spirit. I'm going to call up Christ in me. I always have something to give. I always have Christ in me alive, something to release in a moment, no matter where I am, no matter how I'm feeling. The truth is the truth. The word is word, and rhema is rhema. Okay, I haven't seen my word come to pass, then I'm going to give my word away. Who else wants a word like me? Well, I'm going to line those people. I'm going to ask God to lead me to them, and I'm going to pray for them to come into the word that I need. I'm going to capture that word, and I'm going to release it to somebody else rather than demanding it has to come through me first. Because if I can open up this little nut to think that big, then I can give away far more than I can possess. Because now I've opened up the pipe. I got out of the way. I don't need to have it first before I can give it away. He's got it. I will be a conduit. That may be the word you've given me. Maybe you need a healing. Maybe there's something you've been fighting over for years, and he's given you the word of healing, and you haven't received it. Don't wait to get well. Go join the healing rooms and start praying for people. Giving it away. Give away what he has given you. You will see it increase when you release what you have captured. Do not demand. It's got to reveal itself here first. I have to see it manifest in me first to believe it. That is not faith. Faith did not come by experience. Faith came by hearing. When you heard the word, the faith was released to you. Lay hold of the rhema that was poured out and stir your spirit up again and say, God, I'm going to give it back. I'm going to give it back. So would you please stand with me, because we're finished. I want you to just ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me what fish have I captured that's starting to stink? What word of heaven? See, it comes as a good thing. It comes so often as a good thing. It comes as life and hope, joyful expectation. But we hold on, and it begins to rot in our souls and becomes a debt, and it becomes a blockage. And then we go, I can't hear you, God. I can't hear you. And he's like, can I have the fish back? Give me that word back. Release it to me. Not in defeat, but in faith. So, Lord, show us, each one of us right now. What have we laid hold of? What have we captured that we have failed to release? Is it a loved one? Is it a circumstance? Was it a word? Was it a promise? What is in my heart that I am holding on and I have neglected to release, and so now it's starting to stink and it's starting to choke me out, God? And I want you to take that thing right now, and I want you to give it back. Say, here, Father. I'm sorry, Lord, for holding on to this. I thought it was faith to hold on this way. And I just hear him saying, it is a greater faith to release it. So, Lord, we take these things precious to us, importance to us, life importance to us, God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, because we cannot do this in ourselves, in our own strength, we ask you, Holy Spirit, come in and take this thing that we need to release. We offer it back to the Father now. And Lord, we thank you that you now capture these things again. And you release us from the bondages and the snares that have encompassed us. You cut our strings and our tethers free today, right now in Jesus' name. And you are releasing your children to go and give away all that they desire, all that they hope for, all that they yearn for, that it may be increased exponentially, that the kingdom of heaven would touch the earth and God would be glorified, because that is our prayer. Lord, be glorified in us today. Be glorified in us today. Have your way in this vessel right now, right here, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We're going to pray for our nations. Thanks, everyone.